Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. Join us once again for the radio show that gives you teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.
From 2 to 5, but we're going to reduce it back to 2 to 4 because it's too long for my co-host and also kind of long for me too. So we're going to be on 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you for joining us at Truth Be Told Radio, and we're a show that teaches from the biblical perspective. We have recordings, like sermons, and sometimes from witnessing preachers. And today we have some more good stuff. Also, we have today some songs. We're not a music station, but we like to play some songs that are biblical and bring up the Word of God and some of those bands that we play is one is called Apologetic, and they have songs that are like secular music, the music's from secular songs, but they kind of like parody it and put Christian things to the music. So if you want to find out more about them, they're at apologetics.com. It's with the text edit at the end, apologetics.com. And let's see what else. We also got some teachings from ICR. It's the Christian Creation Ministry. They talk about things of creation, and also got things from Way to Master Minute. Also teachings from street witnessing from Ray Comfort. Later, and also I want you to invite your friends and anybody who if you like the show, and if you're listening, thank you. And also, we're gonna go for a break right now. Thank you. This is Truth Be Told Radio, and you can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. I said yes because I have a co-host, Guy Reynolds, and right now he's not in the queue, but hopefully we'll get him on later. Okay, here we go.
If you were to look up my family in the dictionary, you'd find it in capital letters under dysfunctional.
We all have family to enjoy or to deal with. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. Parents, siblings, cousins, children, grandchildren, and in-laws, the people God has placed in your life become part of His purposes for your life. He wants you to invest your time, effort, energy, and money into your family. He even speaks in the Bible to those specific roles in each relationship. Doing what God says He wants you to do in these family relationships becomes a life purpose. Don't pull away from it. If the only thing you ever leave behind is a godly imprint upon your family, then you'll have lived out one of God's grandest purposes. This is Elizabeth George.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Have you ever heard a clap of thunder so loud it seemed to make the heavens tremble? It will be about a tiny whisper compared to the great noise and flaming fire that will be revealed when Almighty God rips apart the sky at the second coming. In that great and terrible day of the Lord, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up.
Is there any fear when we read these words? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Where is our horror at the fate of the lost? How can we not care that the unsaved are pouring into hell like sheep being run over a great cliff? Apparently, we must be the most hard-hearted generation since Adam.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
I learned a lot from my dad. He was a good father, but it was his integrity as a man of God that made such an impression upon me. Dad was my role model and mentor. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In a fuller sense, Jesus is a role model and mentor for every believer. He is the supreme example on how to live life to the glory of God. In Matthew 11, 28 and 29, he extends an invitation to us in this regard. He says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. The word learn is the word that describes the activity of a student. It means to find out, to strive for understanding. Now most translations of this verse say, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. But the Greek text literally says, and learn from me. I was a gymnast in college, and later, when I was a youth pastor, I coached our local high school gymnastic team. Often I would tell the kids how to do a particular gymnastic move, and they would learn from me. But sometimes I would actually demonstrate the move and say to them, Now, do it just like I did it, and they would learn by my example. Well, Christ tells us that we need to be meek and lowly in heart if we want to find rest, and that's what we learn from Him. But when we watch Him and see that that is exactly what He did, we see that He was meek and lowly in heart, and so we also learn from His example. So, when we yoke up with Christ in the same harness, that's what we learn about life. We learn how to be meek and lowly and find rest for our souls. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Hey, spend time with Jesus, and you'll learn a lot about life.
A Word from the Word is a ministry committed to establishing the Word of God as the basis of truth. We encourage you to peruse our website at awordfromtheword.org, where we have provided a wealth of free resources to help you in your study of the Bible. It's all available at awordfromtheword.org.
Welcome back. This is Lucy Cantilla, and you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And I think I have Iris. I want to speak that soon. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, oh, it's you. I'm fresh back from puppet team practice. That sounds funny. People say, well, you're on a puppet team. Wow, you're just learning to hold a puppet. I used to think that. I did. I will tell you that. Anyone that's on a puppet team that may be listening on a podcast or anything like that, I respect you. Not like I didn't respect you before, but I have a whole new respect. It's not just holding up a puppet. There's a lot more to that. Matter of fact, in the words of our children's pastor, he said there's a whole underground of puppeteers that a lot of people don't know about, and it's a true talent and a gift that can be given. So not sure if it's totally my gift, but I wanted to do it to be able to touch lives and try to get the gospel out there by any ways possible. And this is one thing that I think God wants me to do for right now. So we do have puppet team. I actually told my brother that today, and he kind of laughed. He goes, oh, okay, that's good. And, you know, because that's the way I would react. If I didn't know anything about puppets, I would say, Well, that's good. Yeah, you learned to hold up a puppet and do kid songs. Okay. The same thing I heard about clowning from a little kid. Ever since I've watched Jerry Lewis in a movie called Three Ring Circus, he was a clown called Jericho, and I wanted to be a clown because I love Jerry Lewis. And from that point on, I actually got to do some clowning and professional clowning and stuff like that, and I hope to do more of it. But I think it's a new avenue to spread the gospel to people, and I think God's leading me that way for now. So I'm going to follow his leading in that. So clowning and puppetry, please pray for me and my daughter.
You also learned the balloon, right? Like the twist balloons and make different things.
Yeah, balloon animals, ballooning, stuff like that. I'm actually going to do a refresher course. I'll be going to Indianapolis for a puppet festival, and I'm going to do a refresher course ballooning. I didn't get to learn a lot the first time I took that class, so I'm going to go back in and try to do more stuff and try to learn more stuff because there's a fall festival here that I'm having a head start. And
you sounded weird for a little bit there.
I don't know what that was. It kind of sounded like two pigs fighting, didn't it?
Yeah.
What happened there? But anyway, demon, be out of this phone. No.
Yeah, but anyway. It's harder than people think because I've done some of that, and it's harder than it looks.
And for some people, ballooning can come natural. People know how to, and they remember how to make the stuff. But for some people, it takes work.
I could do basic things. I could make a flower, a dog, and I think basically those are my main ones that I could do. Other than that, it gets harder. Oh, yeah, I could make a hummingbird kind of thing, I think. And, we'll move on. I thought I was going to be solo for a while because I didn't see your number in the queue. So, are you still there?
I'm still giving it a college try here with the switchboard and trying to download stuff. It's been.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get that one that you wanted because I couldn't find it. It just showed, they only showed like four of the recordings for James McDonald's.
Yeah, Walk in the
and
World.
Then,
I'll continue to try to get it during this time. I had some blogs we can read. I've saved a couple from last week, and plus we can read the new stuff on Tony Maiano's blog and Ray Comfort's blog. And I might get my buddy Chan to call in, and I'll have him read some scripture. From the Project Ezra reading, we'll just go ahead and I'll find out what the Project Ezra suggested reading is for this week, and I'll have him, he can get on, pop on real quick, and we'll read it.
Yeah. As per your request, I reduced today's show to 4 p.m.
Okay, well, yeah, I thought, you know, it wasn't a disrespect to anyone or to you. Yeah, I think, you know, 2 hours is good. You can put a lot in 2 hours. And, you know, if you're doing something that takes longer than 2 hours, you may not gather the listeners. Somebody would like to listen to stuff like that or listen to my voice. So that I would not want to listen to my voice for 3 hours. I don't know about, you know, I've finally heard some podcasts with me on it on my show I do called Truth Decay on Monday nights. And I need to loosen up a little bit because it don't seem like it's me because I have a different, I used to do stand-up comedy, so I want to be a little more relaxed, but I'm doing, when I do try to do stuff and it's kind of serious, I trash out my words and I say a lot. So I need to just kind of go off the cuff to do it. See, I said again. I need to go off the cuff a little more to do more things. Because I can do a lot more. This is radio. You can't see me. I could be making faces at you right now, and you don't know.
it is pretty long, 2-3 hours.
We'll be the new format here, so we can go back and forth. We'll be able to do 2 hours and 2 to 4 Pacific time. She's probably already said that. And here I'm out on the East Coast, 5 to 7 p.m. I haven't put anything advertising to show. And as we've always said, Truth Be Told Radio, we like to let the Spirit lead, whether it's reading Scripture or putting a sermon on or talking about a certain subject. If you feel like you'd like to call in, you're listening now, 347-884-9505. I'm going to jump in the chat room in a second, but I have to get myself off of this switchboard so I can sign in as my name is General Wretch, if you see me in the room. So, well, do you have any any questions, comment, anything like that, feel free to go to truthbetoldradio.com, or you can find us on Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio. And all our information, like emails and things like that, on truthbetoldradio.com. See, I've stretched it out again. I'm going to do that. Okay. Now I'm going to stretch it out. If it'll download, I know you're going to take a break here, but real quick, if you're going to, it's starting to download this one. It's actually a Johnny Hunt sermon that's about 50 minutes long, and it's a very awesome sermon. It's about the transition from hearing the word and doing the word, and he does a good job with that. This was a couple Sundays ago, so that could be something for a little bit later we can do. Anyway, before cutting you off again, I want to say sorry.
Well, you said
50,
like 5-0.
I'm sorry?
Did you say it's 50, like 50 minutes?
Yeah, 50
okay.
minutes, yeah.
Well, I don't know, like, because we still, like, you know, after we broadcast live, we still have, like, about an hour that goes, like, without, like, you know, streaming live. I don't know if you want to do it then or...
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I think we haven't done. I don't think we've done any Johnny Hunt stuff. It's a very, very good sermon. I thought, what sermon can we kind of put out there?
It's still a downloading sermon. Well, then we could do it a little bit later, I guess.
Yeah, I emailed, by the way, Apologetics lead singer Jay Jackson and asked him about permission. About not only using the songs, but talking about is the new album coming out and where they're touring at, things like that. And I want to get official permission from that. And also, I've got a couple songs here we can pop on. And in light of them, they're going to be in Tullsboro, Kentucky, near me, this Friday night. So at a small church there. And I'm going to try to interview him while I'm there and interview some band members about what they do and things like that. I'm going to record it and I'll put it. Also, try to get them to do some intros, like this is so and so. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio type stuff, and so we'll be able to have them on here and maybe later on plan and get Jay Jackson to call in, the lead singer, and talk about their ministry and how long they've been doing it and the changes that's been going on, stuff like that with Apologetics. So stay tuned for that, apologetics.com, if you don't know who they are, APOLOGETIX, not C, TIX, it's Apologetics. They're a Christian parody band, and hopefully we'll get them to come on pretty soon.
And we will take a break. Thank you for us, Truth Be Told Radio. And we can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Muscle grows through resistance. If you want to grow physically, get into a swimming pool and hold a 5-gallon container filled with water at head level. To stay afloat, you'll have to kick for dear life. The key in this exercise is to take the lid off the container, turn it upside down, and let the water drain out as you kick. A great comfort is that you know, as time passes, as you become tired, the weight is going to get lighter, and that knowledge will spur you on.
As you step into the waters of personal evangelism, the weight of apprehension may seem unbearable at first, but as you pour yourself out for the gospel, you'll have the knowledge that God will relieve you of the weight. Each time you exercise yourself in this, you'll strengthen yourself spiritually.
There goes another minute. gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Pagans like their gods to be visible so they can recognize them when they come down off of Mount Olympus or as they sit elevated on a totem pole. But the God of the Bible is different. He is invisible, and the only way you can see him is in Jesus Christ. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. In Colossians 1:15, it says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. John put it this way in John 1:18, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known." You see, the God of the Bible is invisible. Moses only saw the afterglow of God's presence, and all that Ezekiel saw was a ball of fire coming out of the sky. The point is, nobody has ever really seen God. This word invisible is actually the word visible or capable of being seen with the alpha prefix on it, which means not. Not visible or invisible. Now, that's just the way it is with God. He is invisible, and that's the way he wants it to be. He doesn't want you to localize him in some statue. He wants you to realize that he is everywhere. He is an invisible presence wherever you go. The only exception to that is the person of Jesus Christ. According to this text in Colossians 1:15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So, if you really want to see God, take a good look at Jesus. Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. By the way, how well do you know Jesus? You won't know God very well till you know him.
A Word from the Word is an apologetics ministry emphasizing the trustworthiness of the Bible and an exposition ministry exploring the biblical text for answers to life's most pressing issues. Visit our website today at awordfromtheword.org.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
Don't mind that. It's just Wonder Woman getting her act together.
Wonder Woman, Wonder Mom, Wonder Wife, wonder what in the world you're doing? This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. Priorities. So many women rush off in all directions at once or no direction at all. God is the only one who can get you started in the right direction. The Bible says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." The thinking goes like this. If you want God to be first in your life, put him first in your life today. Before the day gets out of hand, read your Bible. Fill your mind with God's mind. It's a wonderful way to get started. This is Elizabeth George.
And welcome back to Truth Be Told Radio. This is your host, Lisa Chantilla. And we're on every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We have different various teachings from a biblical perspective, sometimes chlorine, sometimes live stuff, like reading from blogs, and just different variety of things. And sometimes we even feature music that we believe that that biblical, and it's still entertaining, but it has good teachings from it too. Some people say one named Paul Jett, APOLLDETIX. You can find out more about them at apologetics.com. They do parodies of secular music and put Christian values and teachings to it. Another one they play is Shyland. That's S-H-A-I-L-I-N-E. And he's more of a rapper. He does, so he puts Christian teachings to it. And Zai, is your recording ready yet?
I'm on here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What's going on?
Oh, sorry. I was asking you, is that Johnny Hunt, I think it is, the recording ready?
No, it messed up. I don't know why it got to the middle of it, and it messed up.
So you want to say stuff like Ray Comfort or song or something?
Yeah, we've got another Ray Comfort tip here, basically from the Springboard for Budding Preachers. And what happened was, a few years ago, Ray Comfort was preaching out in the courthouse, local courthouse in California there near Los Angeles, and he would use these analogies to start the law and the gospel. So he decided to start recording it, and they put a bunch of them on a CD. Now, obviously, the message is the same, but how he gets there is different. So he's going to show, he shows you different analogies and different stories to bring up to be able to start the gospel, and the universal story. Some of them are personal from him. Some of them have to do with current events or past events. This one is called Parking Tickets, and this is from Ray Comfort. Once again, you can get on livingwaters.com and check these out. They're on, it's a CD called Springboard for Budding Preachers, and it gives you examples to go from the natural into the spiritual. This is Ray Comfort on Truth Be Told Radio.
A friend of mine recently told me that he had to go to court because he had a stack, a handful of unpaid parking tickets. I says, well, why didn't you just go and pay them? He says, you're kidding, they were just parking tickets. It was no big deal. And then he told me that at 4 a.m. the police came to his home, arrested him, put him in a big black bus and took him to the L.A. court system. Now he said, fortunately, I took $700 in my pocket. He thought, I'll make things right with the judge. And as he stood before the judge, he says, Judge, I am guilty, but I want to tell you, I've got money in my pocket, and I can pay those fines today. Just get it worked out. And the judge said to him, Mr. So-and-so, I'm going to save you that money. You're going to jail. Brought down the hammer, took him off to jail. My friend said he was horrified. Now, his big problem was that he trivialized his crimes. He saw it was just parking tickets, no big deal. But the law said it was a big deal. And because of his trivializing of his crimes, he really thought that he could fix things up with a judge. Now, you and I have violated another law. It's the law of God, the Ten Commandments. And I know if I came down the line today and spoke to you personally, you would probably trivialize your crimes. You say, yeah, I have sinned, I've lied, I've stolen, but it's no big deal. You know, I've told white lies, just little lies. I've stolen little things, just like you're trivializing it. What you need to hear is what the law says, so you can see how serious it is, and so you can understand there's no way you're going to fix things up with God when you stand before Him on Judgment Day. There's no way you can do that. You cannot pay your own fine. You cannot get out of it. So what I'm going to do is tell you what the law says, so you can see the seriousness of your transgression, and then we'll take it from there. Ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness. Have you ever lied? And don't trivialize it. Don't say to yourself, yeah, but the white lies. No, face it. Just say, yeah, I have lied, therefore I'm a liar. Well, the Bible says, all liars will bear part in the lake of fire. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. You say, what are you saying? I'm going to hell because I told a lie?
You're saying one of my
All liars are their part in the lake of fire. You say, that's pretty heavy. Sure it's heavy, I don't even like saying it. But that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the law demands. We trivialize it. God says it's an abomination to bear false witness. You say, I don't believe in hell. Well, that's like my friend saying to the judge, Judge, I don't believe in jail. The judge says, excuse me, take him away. Just because we don't believe something, it doesn't go away. Hell is a reality. Let's look at the eighth commandment. You shall not steal. If you've stolen something, don't trivialize it. Face it. If you've stolen something, you're a thief. And the Bible says all thieves will end up in hell. You're a lying thief and you have to stand before God. Look at those other commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You say, I haven't done that, but listen to what Jesus said. Whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. You see, God's law requires truth in the inward part. God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's been a witness to your crimes. Nothing is hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And not only that, your conscience is borne witness. Isn't it true your conscience tells you when you've done wrong? You know you've lied and stolen. Listen to that conscience. Ever use God's name in vain? Listen to the scriptures. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. All blasphemers will end up in hell as taking God's holy name and using it as a cuss word. Don't trivialize it, because if you do, you'll be deceived into thinking you can make things right with God when you face him on judgment day. You just talk God out of justice. No way that's going to happen. Sixth commandment, you shall not kill. That means you shouldn't take the life of another human being. You shouldn't murder them. But Jesus said, if you get angry without cause, you're in danger of judgment. And the Bible says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Can you see the trouble you're in? Can you see that if you died in your sins and God gave you justice, you'd end up in hell? What are you going to do on the day of judgment? You haven't put God first. You haven't loved the God that gave you life. And yet that's a commandment. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we have trouble loving our loved ones, let alone strangers, loving them as much as we love ourselves. We've fallen short of that law that we're commanded to keep. We are lawbreakers, we're criminals in the sight of a holy God. And the Bible says, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. What will you do on the day of judgment when you face that law? Now, if my friend had only known what the law demanded, he would have attempted to make things right between him and the law. Unfortunately, you can do that today, because the Bible says this judge of the universe is rich in mercy. Almighty God is love and grace and mercy, besides being justice, righteous, and holiness. Justice and righteousness and holiness. This God sent his Son, born of a virgin, Jesus Christ, was God in human form, who gave his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. He stepped in and paid your fine for you in his life's blood. He suffered and died for your sins, for my sin, for the sin of the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace is God's unmerited favor, his mercy, and that's what he extends to you today through the gospel. Jesus Christ suffered and died for your sins, commending God's love, proving God's love to you. And then he rose from the dead. The Bible says, on the third day, he rose from death and defeated it. Death couldn't hold him. So folks, realize today that God wants to forgive your sins. He doesn't want you to perish. He wants to grant you the gift of everlasting life. He wants to extend his mercy towards you. The Bible says mercy rejoices over judgment. That means God would rather give you mercy and allow you to live than give you justice. Send you to hell. That's not God's will. So come to your senses today. Do what the Bible says. Repent. It's an old-fashioned word. It just means to turn from your sin. It means to confess and forsake your sins. It's more than confessing them to a priest or to God. It's actually turning from them. It means stop being a hypocrite and saying, I believe this, and living a life that's an abomination to the God you profess to love. And the second thing you must do is trust in Jesus Christ. Folks, don't just believe in Jesus. I believed in Jesus before I was a Christian. If you look at a building, 10 stories, you want to get to the top, you don't believe in the elevator. You put your faith into it. You trust yourself to it. And that's what you must do with the Savior. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. That means get right with God today, because you may not have tomorrow. Every single day, 150,000 people die. You can be swept away in a hurricane and a flood, or your heart can give out for no reason. Eternity is a heartbeat away from you. Realize that. You're not immortal. You're not God. You're a mortal human being with frailties, and you don't know when death could seize upon you. The only thing you can guarantee is the air going into your lungs at the present moment. You can't guarantee another breath. That comes by the mercy of God. And if God loses patience with you today, folks, there's no second chance. So obey the Bible command, repent, trust in Jesus Christ. And the moment you do that, you'll pass from death into life, from darkness into light.
There you go.
Welcome back. Truth Be Told Radio. We both start talking at the same time. Got to work on this synchronization, I guess, right?
Yeah.
You talk first. No, you talk first. So that was Ray Comfort, and he was using an example of parking tickets, which is good because it goes into the law really well. But just about any type of courtroom analogy or breaking of anyone's law analogy can work in open air or just a conversation with someone. You don't have to use it in open air. You can just use it talking to someone and talk about breaking the law. And it will work out because you go from the natural to the spiritual. Obviously, pray before you go out and witness to anyone. Pray a lot before you go in open air. Preach or read the Word of God out loud, which brings me to the next thing is Project Ezra. There's something out there on Facebook land called Project Ezra. If anyone has Facebook, you can possibly get on there and try to get on and be a fan of Project Ezra. They'll send you messages on suggested reading. What Project Ezra is it challenges people in America and other countries all over the world to read Scripture in the open air. This week's suggested reading was Luke 13, and I'd like to do, if we can, everyone get out your Bibles, by the way. You don't just think you're going to listen to radio and not get your Bibles out. We see you out there, those that don't have Bibles. Get your Bibles out. We're going to go first to Luke 13, then we're going to jump to Acts 26. So I'll give you just a few seconds to go to both of those sections. Go ahead and bookmark it. If you've got a Bible, you have to have a bookmark. Use something as a bookmark, anything. I have papers, I have notes, I have all kinds of stuff bookmarking. I have cards with the Truth Be Told radio show on them, bookmarking different places in the Bible where I've been reading. So anyhow, Melissa, if we can, I'll read all of Luke 13, and you can jump to Acts 26, and in between there, we can talk about the scripture we just read, and if anyone would like to call in and discuss any of those, because after all, this could be a Bible study for some people that don't go to a church. Maybe they're shut in or something, maybe they're listening right now, or maybe you're podcasting and you don't have a chance to call in. So I do want to make that available to you to call in if you want, 347-884-9505, 347-884-9505. Once again, we're going to read some scripture now. Yeah, are you okay with that?
Yeah,
you're Acts 26, the whole chapter. It's not really that big, that long, for all of you with short attention spans like me. I'm going to read.
What version do you read? I can read the same time.
Oh, okay. I was actually going to switch. I've got two or three different types of translations.
Oh.
I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard, but for this one, I'll be reading and following along with the New American Standard. I have a MacArthur Study Bible, and I want to throw this out there. I know on previous shows that of Wretched Radio, that's wretchedradio.com, that Todd Friel has talked about Bible translations. He's always encouraged people to buy a MacArthur Study Bible. While there's nothing wrong initially with the Study Bible, I would be cautious about Study Bibles and the reference notes because, number one, if they don't see the same view, for instance, MacArthur sees a rapture, I don't, and that's because of the teaching I've been enlightened and God's enlightened me through Chan through that in Scripture, showing me tons of Scripture as we had that episode confronting the pre-trib rapture. So a lot of his views, for instance, come out in the now, a lot of the stuff's solid, but some of his views, like if he's a, for instance, he's a Calvinist, his views for the Calvinism and his eschatology, his end times with the rapture, comes out in the study notes because it's how he studies. Now, I understand that. So be aware of the study notes. There's a lot of things, and I always tell people this, is when you see someone, no matter if it's John MacArthur or Alistair Begg or any other Bible you see that has study notes in it, always go through and do a personal study, not to get your own interpretation, don't get me wrong, but to basically back up and read all the scriptures and find out, okay, are they reading that in context? It's very important. It's a very important part of studying your Bible, reading the Bible in context and doing your own study on it and showing what God's going to reveal to you, and he may reveal the same exact thing to the person who's had study notes on there. So be aware of those. MacArthur's solid on a lot of stuff, and I listen to a lot of his stuff. I'm in the middle of reading a book right now of his, Jesus You Can't Ignore. So there's a lot. Don't get me wrong. I love John MacArthur and Piper and all of them for that matter. But there's a lot of things that are solid and a lot of things that I've done my own personal studies on that God's revealed to me that not necessarily could be their view. So I walk and tread differently and lightly on study notes and things. So saying all that, I am reading from the John MacArthur NASB, which I, you know, it's one translation I do like. I do like the KJV also. I try to stay away from the NIV. Matter of fact, my show, Truth Decay, we did a show on that, on translations, and we might do another one to kind of extend it on what translations are closest to the original manuscripts, the Hebrew and Greek, the Latin translations, things like that. And what I found in my studies is the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, and the KJV seem to be the closest to the original manuscripts. But I do read from the NASB, and it's what I'm reading from. I didn't mean to go on that diatribe, Melissa, but I felt like I had to explain a few things on why I'm reading from this translation and everything. So anyway, without further ado, we're going to get to go ahead.
What's the one that I think it's Mormons or Jehovah's? Oh, yeah, Jehovah's. Which ones do they use? I forgot.
They use the KJV, and they mangle it to death. They completely out of context.
One called New Century Version or something.
I'm sorry, the what version?
I thought it was called New Century Version or something.
Oh, I thought you said Heresy Version. So, yeah, it would be a Heresy Version that they would be using. They would jump around and scripture twisting at its best. And I use it like a jigsaw puzzle. They just put it together however they want and interpret it how they want instead of what the author intended. Very, very important when you're reading the Bible. Try to find out what the author, which is God, what the author intended to say in anything. You can make it what you want, sure, but I can make scripture anything I want, but that don't mean it's true, and that don't mean it is exactly how it's interpreted. And a lot of people, they'll ask me, well, how do you get your interpretation? Well, I don't get my interpretation. I wait and I pray the Spirit of God will reveal it through his word in much study. And that's why I always encourage people to study their Bible instead of read it. There's a huge difference. I believe if you're a new Christian or a Christian that's been around for a decade or more, you would agree that there's a difference between studying and reading the Bible. And we can probably go on this Luke 13 and talk forever on it. But however the spirit leads, we'll talk about it, and then we'll move on to tax. So, I mean, for that matter, we've got an hour and 15 minutes. We can do whatever God wants to do because he's blessed Melissa with having a radio show, and he blessed me to be able to co-host it. So whatever God wants in this is his will, because we're here to honor and glorify God. That's the number one thing we do this for. We don't do it to get paid or anything like that. There's nothing has to do with that. We do it because we want to get biblical teaching out there. And obviously there's tons of shows out there, tons of great radio shows, especially on blogtalkradio.com, that have to do with teaching and preaching. And we're just one of those that want to honor God in everything we do. So that's our number one goal. So we won't derive from that, and we won't negotiate that. That is what we do. In this show or any part of our lives, I think a Christian is, that's the number one thing a Christian does, is honor God in everything they do. And we want to honor him. Go ahead.
Do you know if they started Ray Comfort Live yet? They're going to have that on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's going to be on Blog Talk Radio, Ray Comfort Live, and I think it's replacing Ambassador's Alliance.
Yeah.
I don't know when it's happening, when they're trying to get it ready. Ray is a really busy guy. He jumps around. He has the craziest schedule I think I've ever seen of anyone. He's up in the middle of the night. He don't get up early in the morning. He has different sleeping hours, things like that, and he has speaking engagements and things like that, and radio shows.
Wow.
And it seems like every week he's writing a book. So whether it's a 100-page book or 300-page book, and they're also speaking of that. Before we get into the Word of God, the origins in schools, they're giving away Origin of Species on, I think, I don't know how many college campuses they have it out now, but it's a lot of campuses. And they're wanting to get it out there in the people's hands. It has a 50-page kind of, I don't know if you call it a rebuttal, but it's a explanation of Darwin's life and the fact of evolution being a fairy tale, and all you any atheists listening would laugh and roll your eyes. And I understand, but it's getting out to the colleges, and a lot of atheists are trying to stop it. Matter of fact, we'll read more about that when we read the Ray Comfort's Atheist Central.
Yeah, I heard some people are trying to do like a book burning. So I don't know if it's literal, but
yeah, they want to do a book burning, and which is irony because they're wanting to burn the very book that the atheists kind of put out on. It's kind of, I mean, oh, let's rip out the 50 pages and burn the book, or let's burn the 50 pages. Well, that's fine. And regardless, any atheists are listening, you know, the Word of God's going to get out. Voltaire, I think he was, I can't remember if he was a French philosopher or what, but Voltaire once said that. He said within 10 years, the Bible will be obsolete. And he led a book burning and wanted to disclose the whole Bible. Voltaire did. And listen to this irony. William Tyndale, who was the first man to translate the Bible from different languages to English, into English, so we could have one in our house, be able to read. Tyndale Publishing bought and used Voltaire's house a decade after he said that statement. After he died, they used his house to print the first Bibles. Oh, there you go. You're not doing anything new, atheist, to try to stop the Word of God and try to get the gospel. And Christians, I'll put in quotes, converting people, spreading their junk, as you call it. But you're not the first one who's tried to stop it. And God does what he does. It doesn't matter. They're killing Christians right now in other countries. They're beating Christians or imprisoning Christians, all for the glory of Christ. So it's been done for over 2,000 years, and it's going to continue to go because God is supreme, and he rules, he is sovereign, he's overall, and he's control of it all. So regardless, that's not what an atheist wants to hear. He grits his teeth. He shakes his fist to that. But the fact of the matter is, truth is what it is, and you may think you can stop it for a short period of time or something, but God's still going to, his will is going to be done no matter what. So, and this origin of species is just part of it. And I'm glad Ray and Tony and all them are getting out there, and they're getting the – I think I'll be at Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia, doing it when they have it on that day. I'm going to actually try to take the day off to go out there. I don't know what day it is. It's in November. I'm going to get the exact date. I'm sorry, November what?
24th.
November 24th. Well, I believe either that's Darwin's, I think the 200th anniversary or something of the, or the anniversary of him writing that book, and we're going to get it out and be able to preach the gospel and be getting the gospel out to people in college campuses, which is sorely, sorely needed. So this is a major upbringing. I'm glad Ray and Tony, I'm glad they're getting out there. Praise God for them to do that. We need to be praying for this as it gets closer for the more origin in schools. So without further ado, I've just wasted like six minutes doing that. Well, one wasted. It was informative. Bible. That's, you know, I think that's getting on. So, yeah, let me start. It's Luke 13. If you're driving, please don't get your eyes off the road. You can listen.
No.
Open up your Bible if you're driving. It's very hard to do. So listen to the Word of God, Luke 13. This is, once again, the Project Ezra, reading Scripture in the open air public. If you get a chance this week, anywhere there's people, just open up your Bible and start reading. Even if you don't preach the gospel in there, the Word of God is being put out there. Luke 13, verse 1. Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him, being Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who lived in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he began telling this parable. A man had a fig tree, which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And he answered and said to him, let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over, said to her, woman, you are freed from your sickness. And he laid his hands on her. Immediately she was erect again and began glorifying God. But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd in response, there are 6 days in which work should be done, so come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath you untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound her for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? And he said this. All his opponents were being humiliated. As he said this, all his opponents were being humiliated. And the entire crowd was rejoicing over the glorious things being done by him. So he was saying, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and threw in his own garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. And again he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. And he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, there are just a few. Are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up to us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you're from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. And they will come from the east and west, and from north and south, and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Just at that time, some Pharisees approached him, saying to him, go away, leave here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I'll reach my goal. Nevertheless, I must journey on today and tomorrow and the next day, for it cannot be that a prophet would perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those that sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you will not have it. Behold, your house is left to you desolate, and I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That was Luke 13. You have any thoughts on that, Melissa?
It talks about the parables of what the kingdom of God is like. Just so much to say about it.
I like the fact that he does a lot of the parables, and a lot of people, I've heard some people go, well, the kingdom of God is this. It is this. No, Jesus made it clear. It's like this, so it's not that. He's comparing it. And really, it's incomparable. But I think Jesus, in his wise words, began to kind of establish something with the people and as he was talking, how to, because he was leading up to the way of the kingdom, how it's narrow. And they even ask him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he tells them straight out what to strive for, to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. That's Luke 13:24. And that's a direct reference to Matthew 5 or Matthew 7, I believe, when it talks about the narrow and the wide gate and how Jesus will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. It's making a direct reference to that. It's Luke, in Luke's account of that, he teaches again about people knocking on the door and not being able to get in. And that would be just a horrible day for people who, especially people who profess to be Christian and people that go to church every Sunday, even people that are in choirs, that are in dramas, that are in ministry serving, that are not following Christ the way they should, and they're not Christians for that matter, and they're fooling themselves thinking they are, and that's who he's talking about, is people who feel like they should be in heaven because of this, and this, and anybody of another religion, for that matter, anyone of another cult, they feel like they're working their way to heaven. He's talking about them also. Anybody who has not repented, truly repented, and put their trust in Jesus Christ, and people that think they're going to make it to heaven on their own merit, he's talking about there. I love the very first part of it. Love it when he talks about the Tower and Siloam and the Galileans. Were they greater sinners? No. And I say that to anyone listening. Am I a greater sinner than you? I would say, in my own mind, I would say, I'm a greater sinner. No. Unless you repent, you all will likewise perish. We leave that out in a lot of church services now. Very awesome. It was very awesome to be said today in my church service is the fact of the command to repent. He's not asking you. In this verse, clearly, he is commanding to repent. Verse 3, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all perish. He made another reference to Siloam, to the Tower of Siloam, falling on those people. And in verse 5, he makes another command. Again, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. and he went right into the parables. He talks about healing the crippled woman on the Sabbath. He calls them hypocrites. So he goes right down the line. He's bold, and that kind of stuff. A lot of people go over. They don't. There's a lot of preachers out there that do preach on that, but there's some that just don't talk about the bold conversations that Christ has. And he talked about Satan bounding the woman, being in that. Why shouldn't she be healed on the Sabbath? So he called him like it, he saw him, and then mourning over in Jerusalem. There's many times in Scripture where he has. And this is just one time in Luke 31 where he mourns over. And there's been times where he weeps over Jerusalem, how they reject the gift that's been given. He's trying to gather them together, but they would not have it. House is left desolate. I say to you, at the end of it, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's going to be a terrible day for people who have not received Christ, and a glorious day for those who have. But that was Luke 13.
I have something to say. Well, the one part, Luke 13:25, it says, once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, say, Lord, open up to us. Then he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you're from. It reminds me of the ark, the way, like, God, he closed the ark. It wasn't, like, it wasn't Moses or anybody else. It was God, the one that shut them in and shuts the door. And, like, I bet there was probably people, like, on the outside wanting to come in because they saw the rain coming and stuff, and they probably pounded on the door, or at least tried to get to it.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. You're right.
And that reminds me of that. So, like, I don't know if God did that on purpose, but it seems like it's a parallel to that. And just... Because usually also when you read other versions, it says, it'll say, like, I do not know you. But this one says, I do not know where you are from. Like,
yeah.
That's kind of different to me, too. It's like, I guess it's like maybe the idea, like, I don't know where you're from. I don't know, like, if you're from.
That's just another, it's another phrase of he doesn't know you. So he doesn't know where you're from. Obviously, you're knocking on the door. And I like the parallel that you gave with the ark. There's a reason. There's a specific reason why God shut the door and shut them in. Now, obviously, Noah probably had a way to shut that door himself, but God shut it up in there as kind of a final judgment thing that he projecting on those people. There was plenty of room in that ark for many people, but Moses preached. He was a preacher of righteousness, and people would not respond and get in. Only eight people, those eight were his family, including him, where it got on the ark. So you can imagine the people that were wanting, probably, you know, were going to drown and, you know, not knowing, or knew, they had knowledge of it, but they just didn't listen. It was a wicked and perverse nation, and obviously we see that now, and we see that here in Luke. When he makes this parable very clear that the way of the kingdom is narrow. We need to be walking the narrow road. And we heard the gospel earlier through Ray Comfort. If you're not sure you're saved, get on your knees before God. Don't let your head hit the pillow tonight. Because Jesus made it clear that the way is narrow, and on the day of judgment, you'll be knocking at the door of the kingdom and will not be able to get in. And so just make it clear in yourself. God will save you if you cry out to him. And I got a message from a friend of mine saying that Noah did preach. Yes, Noah preached for 100 and some years. That's why I said, God said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He did preach for 100 and some years. He preached the gospel to them, what was to come, the judgment to come. He preached the gospel. So I will tell you that. Yeah, he had a lot of time to do it, but the people just wouldn't listen, and that's sad. And it reminds me of now. And I have a buddy of mine, Chris. He's reading Jeremiah, and I'm going to go back and read it also. It would be a good conversation with that, is that Jeremiah was told that no one would listen. He was told right off the bat, you're going to preach for me. You're going to preach sin, righteousness, judgment, and no one's going to listen. And he was named, I believe, the weeping prophet. And he wept for so many times because of God's anger. He was called to bring the message to him, and for a long time, no one listened at all. No one got converted, and God told him that right at the beginning, but he still preached. He was still faithful to God. So anybody out there that's frustrated, that suffers from club frustration, as I like to call it, you're preaching the gospel and witnessing to people, especially your family members or friends, stay faithful to God and keep going. Don't quit, because God will speak to them and in his time. And just keep sowing the seeds, preaching the gospel and witnessing. And we're called just to sow seeds, and that's hard enough. That's to be obedient to God in that. So I pray that you all, anyone out there who's having frustration problems like me for that matter, knowing that people just thinking, well, people aren't listening and they're not going to get it. Well, God will use that. God will use the seeds that you sow, and that's guaranteed. He always does. So keep going.
I was looking at the chat room, and we have some listeners. We have one called Serving to Lead, and then also there's one called RC Lamb, Mike Dutini, and Liberty Broadcasting, and Ronke. And R.C. Lamb said, Luke 13:35, behold, your house is left unto you desolate and very, I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time comes when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Yeah, that was the last part of that. He was quoting the Old Testament, Psalm 118:26. He was quoting that and going back to scripture, because you got to think, whenever he I love that verse, because the context of it obviously is your house will be left desolate, meaning, you know, your own home will be desolate. It doesn't matter what you do or say. And he said, I'll say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And yes, go ahead.
R.C. Lamb was asking, I don't know if it's correct, but he was asking, or he or she, whoever, I don't know if it's male or female, but they said, they're asking if that is a prophecy of 70 A.D.
The prophecy of 70 A.D., no, I don't think it is, because of the context in it. He's making it clear in here about mourning over Jerusalem. This is another time that he's calling out to the church, for that matter, in Jerusalem, the people of God, to leave their homes and follow him, for that matter. And maybe I'm wrong on that. I'll have to do some more studying on that. But he's trying to gather his children to him. He said, how often in 34, how often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood, until under her wings, and you would not have it. In other words, he tried to gather them, and it did not work. And it talked about, and that may be a parable, I have to do some more studying on it, I will tell you that, but that may be a direct reference to wheat and tares parable, where they're gathering of the tares are first, then the wheat, I believe, it goes in that order, and the reason the tares are gathered first to be bundled up and burned, and the wheat is gathered, which is the kingdom, which is the children of God. I don't think it is. Matter of fact, I'm going to highlight that in my Bible. I'm going to do some more studying, and maybe next week I'll have an answer for you. I'm going to put a question mark by it and put 70 AD prophecy. Thank you for asking that, by the way. I will do more studying on that. Matter of fact, I might mention it in my show tomorrow, Truth Decay Radio. It's on tomorrow night, 5:30 to 6:30 Eastern time, so stay tuned for that. Anyway, I'm trying to get some of these uploads here, but in the James McDonald thing, but is there any more questions? I love this. We're having like a Bible study. It's awesome to get in here and people talking about. And anybody has any comments on these verses, you can either, you're in the chat room, or you can call 347-884-9505 and talk with us. And I have a friend that's listening in right now that's talking about Noah preaching. I like the thing that you talked about. No, I mean, righteous, but I will do more studying on that, by the way. Thank you once again for bringing that up. 70 AD, the 70 AD prophecy. I'm going to do some more studying. It may be, but there's two instances where they're going to say that. Number one, him coming into the town, they say Hosanna, and it's fulfillment of a prophecy of coming back, I believe, in the Nisan 32 in the Hebrew calendar. Daniel's prophecy talks about one coming, and he is Jesus, is in perfect timing coming back. My buddy Chan could probably elaborate on that a little more. This may be, matter of fact, we're having a Bible study tomorrow night. I will mention this, and we'll do more studying on it. We might make it one of the subjects of our Bible study in this particular section, Luke 13:35, to study it a little more to see if it is. And if it's not, I will be back with the report next week, and we'll have probably tons of scripture to go through to show if it is or it's not. So dealing with that. So,
well, I'm going to read Acts 26, but do you want me to take a break first, or do you want me to?
Sure, take a break, and then we'll get in. Everyone that has the Bibles out, go to Acts 26. That's our next suggested reading for Project Ezra. Have any questions on Luke 13? Anything at all, we can do some studying. I love fellowshipping with this, fellowshipping about the Word of God and reading it and expositing it, and I just pray that we're good stewards of that and rightly handling the Word of God. So we'll be right back. Alyssa, do the honors.
Yeah.
Truth Be Told Radio.
Truth Be Told Radio, and we can find out more about us at truthbetoldradio.com. And here we go. Wait a Master Minute.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Are you praying for revival? Many are. They aren't seeking the lost. They instead see revival as a sovereign move of God. In doing so, they're handing the job of evangelism back to heaven. In essence, they're saying, we know that you've commanded us to preach the gospel to every creature, but we'll stay here and pray. Your word says, how will they hear without a preacher, but we'll stay here and pray.
You've told us that the gospel is the power of God to salvation, but we will stay here and pray because it sure is easier to talk to God about men rather than to talk to men about God. Don't be like that. If we love Him, we will keep His commandments. And one of His commandments is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Sometimes life gets tiring. You work hard and put in long hours, but it just seems like you're never done. What you need is a break, a pick-me-up, a little rest along the way. Hi, this is Dan Hayden, and I have a word from the Word for you. Jesus knew what it was to be exhausted after a long day. In Matthew 11, we are told that Jesus was being accused of being a glutton and a wine-bibber, that he was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Then it says that the very cities where he had done most of his miracles were turning their backs on him. It must have been disappointing and tough. He was working long hours and expending himself for the people, but they were simply indifferent and critical. So Matthew tells us that Jesus simply went to his Father in prayer and refreshed himself in the Father's presence. After that, he gave an invitation for us to do the same with him. In Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now that's a welcome thought indeed. There's a place to find rest in the midst of our labors. The word labor is a Greek word that means to become weary and tired, to feel fatigued. This verb comes from a noun that literally means to cut by way of reducing the strength. To be fatigued is to cut your energy by 80 or 90%. You feel tired and weary. I'm sure you've had days like I have had where you ended up being totally exhausted. Well, that's what Jesus is referring to. When the world presses in on you with tough days and long hours, when there are misunderstandings and criticisms, and you're just weary of it all, when you've labored and are heavy laden, Jesus says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Now you know the real meaning of the word. This is Dan Hayden. Say, quiet times with the Lord are very refreshing, like an oasis in the midst of the desert.
A Word from the Word is a ministry committed to establishing the Word of God as the basis of truth. We encourage you to peruse our website at awordfromtheword.org, where we have provided a wealth of free resources to help you in your study of the Bible.
Proverbs 15:13 says, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful." That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS.
If you were to look up my family in the dictionary, you'd find it in capital letters under dysfunctional.
We all have family to enjoy or to deal with. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. Parents, siblings, cousins, children, grandchildren, and in-laws, the people God has placed in your life become part of His purposes for your life. He wants you to invest your time, effort, energy, and money into your family. He even speaks in the Bible to those specific roles in each relationship. Doing what God says He wants you to do in these family relationships becomes a life purpose. Don't pull away from it. If the only thing you ever leave behind is a godly imprint upon your family, then you'll have lived out one of God's grandest purposes. This is Elizabeth George.
Okay, we're back. Truth Be Told Radio. This is Melissa Central and my co-host, Carlos. And you can get ready by getting out your Bibles, or you could go even to BibleGateway.com for better read from the New American Standard version of the Bible. And it's going to be Acts 26. So give me a couple minutes to get ready for that. We should read something from a blog to give you a minute. And then go to raycomfortfood.blogspot.com. And he has a blog called, like I said, it used to be called Ray Comfort Food, but then he changed it to Atheist Central because a lot of people who are atheists go to that. So he talks to people there. And like earlier, we were talking about origins of species. And trying to get this. So, here we go. Atheist Central. And this one's called A Thinking Atheist. Oh, wait, no. That's the video. There's our next one. It says, it's hard to keep up with all the false accusations, but here's one. I said that around 200,000 people die each year in the U.S. because of medical mistakes. Demencio wrote, given that Mr. Comfort has lied regarding the mortality rate caused by medical professional error, as the actual statistic is 80,000 fewer deaths than Mr. Comfort claims, why would you expect Mr. Comfort to provide an honest statement of the data that you have requested? In hospital deaths from medical errors at 195,000 per year. I guess you just mentioned like some of the things that people do as Bob, like, because they follow, like, I guess they're looking for anything to get a lot of mistakes. And, well, all I got to say for that is that just because he's wrong about some statistics doesn't mean he's wrong about the Bible. But anyhow, you should study out the Bible for yourself, too, like we're doing here with the go at 26. Okay, I got it ready now. I'm at BibleGateway.com, and I'm going to read Acts 26 from the New American Standard Bible. Starts out saying the little title, which says, Paul's defense before Agrippa. Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched out his hand and proceeded to make his defense. In regard to all things of which I am accused by the Jews, I consider myself fortunate. King Agrippa, that I am about to make my defense before you today, especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions among the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently, so that all the Jews know my manner of life from my youth up, which from the beginning was spent among my own nation at Jerusalem. Since they have known about me for a long time, if they are willing to testify that I lived as a Pharisee according to the strictest sects of our religion, and now I am standing trial for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers, the promise to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly serve God night and day. And for this hope, O King, I am being accused by the Jews. Why is it considered incredible among you people if God does raise the dead? So then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. And as I punished them, often in all synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme, and being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them, even to foreign cities. I was so engaged as I was journeying to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. At midday, O King, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me, and those who were journeying with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." And I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness not only to the things which you have seen, but also the things in which I will also appear to you, rescuing you from Jewish people and the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from dominion of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me." So, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those of Damascus first, and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout all the regions of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, and they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. From this reason, some Jews seized me in the temple and tried to put me to death. So having obtained help from God, I stand to the day, testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place, that the Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of resurrection from the dead, by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he would be first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and the Gentiles. While Paul was saying this in his defense, Festus said in a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you mad." But Paul said, "I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth. For the king knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I am persuaded that none of these things escape his notice, for this has not been done in a quarter. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Agrippa replied to Paul, "In a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "I would wish to God that whether in a short or long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." The king stood up, and the governor and Bernice and those who were sitting with him, with them. And when they had gone aside, they began talking to one another, saying, "This man is not doing anything worthy of death or imprisonment." And Agrippa said to Festus, "This man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." And that's the end of Guys?
Yes, I'm here. You hear me?
Yeah.
I love that, because I mean there's a couple things that jump out at me there. Is number one, Paul shares his conversion experience. Lot of people think they don't have a conversion. Oh, mine wasn't nothing special. No, it is something special. That is the most miraculous thing God could do. Is take a wretched sinner who is a God-hater and turn him into a God-lover in any aspect. It doesn't matter where it's from. So I'm not in favor of them talking about lifestyle evangelism or friendship evangelism. I'm saying if you're converted, you have a conversion story. If that helps you get into a conversation to be able to preach the gospel to them, share that. And that's what Paul did right here. Paul, when he outstretched his arms, I love that. I love how it makes it clear at the beginning of 26 where he stretched out his hand and proceeded to make his defense. In other words, if you look at it, Paul was starting the open air preach right there. He used that. Obviously, he had been praying. He wanted an opportunity to be able to share. So he shared the gospel through his conversion, even through that. And the king even knew what he was doing. That was the second thing he did. The king knew what he was doing. He said, you're seeking to convert me. And he said, you know, not only you, but everybody. Everyone who hears my voice, he'd be just like him. Obviously, he didn't want to say being in chains, but after he preached that, you know, they had a choice to listen or not, obviously, to receive it or not, but he planted that huge seed. He recounted his own conversion, how it happened. Then he talked about his post-conversion life, what happened after that. Which was, I mean, it's amazing that Paul went into an open air right there in front of the king and in front of his accusers.
Yeah, it speaks a lot. Well, for him, it was, like, way dramatic, like, because he was, like, murdering them and a whole bunch of things like that. But even people today, just going from... There's a lot of people have gone, like, from, well, like more specific, like say they're atheists or something, or just totally against the Bible to for it. But that just shows a lot by itself. But that testimony is like, you go from totally like hating and these people and stuff, and then becoming one and loving them.
He showed that. And if you're just joining us, we just read Acts 26, Paul's account to Agrippa, King Agrippa, who had been sent to. And he made his appeal to Caesar. He said he would have been set free, but there was a reason why Paul was in chains. We talked about Paul and Silas today, and why at Children's Church, and why they were in chains. And obviously, the reason was for the Philippian jailer to be saved, and God used that to get the Philippian jailer saved, and he got the gospel that way. So let's all want to switch gears real quick. We got, I believe we have our Christian rapper who's been trying to get on for a couple weeks, and he's ordered some time here to talk to him. Preston Cately is on the line. I'm gonna put him on here or ask him any questions we might have, and ask how his tour's been going. So we'll bring Preston on right now. Preston, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing okay. I heard you've been very, very busy up in Indiana. Dear Anderson, doing all shows and stuff.
Oh, yes, sir. We've been around a lot lately. We've been everywhere from Pennsylvania, Indiana. This next weekend coming up, I'm heading down to Louisiana. Then later on this month, over to West Virginia. So we've been keeping very busy on the road, that's for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah, in case anyone don't know, this is Preston Cately. He's a Christian rapper. He's been going around a lot. He actually performed at we had something called Flip Fest. He actually wrote a song. I'd like to get that from our pastor, Pastor Kyle, maybe play it on here. But he wrote a song just for Flip Fest, and he performed there. And I'm just so glad to – we're actually going to be in – I believe we're going to be in Anderson, Preston, October 16th and 17th. They're having a puppet festival there in Indiana.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I believe I'll be there with our puppet team that we're having and stuff. So,
very cool.
So you're going to be on the road then probably? Or?
Well, you know, I think that's the weekend I'm going to be in West Virginia, but depends when it is. I might be able to drop by and see you all.
Awesome. That's great. Hey, is there anybody in the chat room, Melissa, that might have any questions for Preston or anything like that? I have got a couple here, and if you had any questions you had been maybe writing down or anything, Melissa, be feel free to ask Preston at the moment.
Well, I just wanted to say, first of all, welcome to the show. Thank you for being on. We always like to have you on the show.
Thanks,
I was curious about how old are you?
I am 22 years old. I just graduated actually this past year from Anderson University with a degree in psychology. I have chosen at this point to pursue a career in music, where God has been opening up a lot of amazing doors. It's been very, very exciting, very crazy stuff happening. But I started rapping about 4 or 5 years ago, and ever since, man, it's been so much fun, and God's been moving. I tell you what.
Preston, we're go ahead, Melissa.
I was just gonna say I'm gonna be 29 October 6th. I just want to let people know that it's coming up. My birthday.
Happy birthday! Maybe we can get Preston to do some freestyle happy birthday stuff.
Wait, what do you think this is?
Yeah, I know.
Open mic night.
Throw it out there. Preston, what are your some of your influences, hip hop wise, going into music and, you know, God leading you this area?
Right. Well, definitely. I started out when I went to college. I didn't even listen to rap music, but I was exposed to a couple of different artists like Lecrae, a lot of the guys from Cross Movement. 116 Click. A lot of they're the you know, as it goes, they're not extremely well known at this point in the you know, world of music, but they are in the Christian rap industry some of the leading artists. And basically what I did is I followed their example and you know, basically took their tracks and listened to them and figured out how they did it, what they were talking about, why they were talking about it, and then tried to apply a lot of their techniques to what I do. But a lot of my music is not necessarily based on anything other than, you know, my own life experience and my own passions. A lot of my music is, like that song that I wrote for Flip Fest is just fun. It's not extreme, you know, extreme over the top any direction. It's just made to be fun with a positive message focused on Christ that really can hopefully reach out to young people. So
awesome. So did you start out doing freestyle stuff, or did you begin writing your own stuff right off the bat, or did it take you some time and do lots of studying and prayer, things like that, to be able to write your own
mm-hmm.
stuff?
Mm-hmm. Well, the way it started out was as a funny hobby. I've always been a musician. I'm a drummer, actually. And I've always had a passion for music, and I've been in worship bands and things like that. But then one day I was sitting there and was messing around on my computer trying to make some music, and ended up making a rap beat. And I said to myself, "Wow, that's fun." So from that point on, really, I just started doing it. And since then I've spent a lot of time exploring the rap community as a whole and figuring out the need for more positive role models in that line of music, and have been really focused on trying to be a light in what oftentimes gets played down as a very dirty, rough genre. So it's been one of those things that has required me to do a lot of thinking, a lot of preparation. I tell you what, I've spent so many hours practicing, I can't even tell you. Because I didn't start out good at all, but God has blessed me along the way, and I tell you what, it's just been an amazing ride.
My little girls, they love listening to the All the Within Me. They love that song right there. I got a few favorites on your album that I like, but they love that. That matter of fact, I think you sang that at Flip Fest.
All to Me is You.
The All to Me is You. Yeah, we played that I believe a couple weeks ago on
uh-huh.
here, and a very very blessed song.
I'm
sorry.
Yeah,
we have. We're gonna play that I like called Change the Game, and
mm-hmm.
we'll play that right before we get off with you here. And I wanna get your thoughts on that song
mm-hmm.
too. That Change the Game, for instance, right? You know, we're gonna play it here in a few minutes. But what's that song about? What were you thinking when you wrote that?
Right. Well, Change the Game is a simple title to the song. Is basically bent on an examination of the rap industry of today, a lot of the immorality that's present there, and the way that it's corrupting minds of young people, and just basically causing a big stumbling block for a lot of people. The song is called Change the Game, and basically the whole theme of the song has been my mission for rapping, and that is to provide an alternative, almost ministry rap, if you will, that reaches out to people with the same type of music that they appreciate, but also a message that preaches Christ as opposed to things of the world. So,
basically, it's kind of a two-part question, but to the people who. Obviously, there are some traditional people, some people that are still used to the hymns and things like that, and
mm-hmm.
don't know. They're kind of, you know, they'll say, "Well, you can't really preach, or you can't really, be able to get the word of God or the word out about Christ through that type of music."
Mm-hmm.
That also is kind of a double part. Why I ask this is, what would you say to those people that say you can't really rap's probably not the venue you want to go at? You want to go to something more traditional or something more slower. And how many lives have you seen changed through this type you know, hip hop and rap in the way that God's blessed you and going and doing
mm-hmm.
this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would start by saying that hip hop and rap over the past years has become across the world one of the biggest forms of music, and both in popularity and a lot of the major artists are very recognizable household names, which have a huge audience, which are, you know, the kids listen to it, and I guess to say that depending on the audience that you're reaching for, you have to attempt to be to form your message in a way that reaches out to that specific group. Now there's going to be settings where I would choose not to use rap as my mode of ministry. You know, there's going to be times when you're going to need to use hymns. Some people worship with hymns. I enjoy hymns myself from time to time. I also think that rap music is a way of reaching out to a group of people that would not be able to be reached otherwise. Without a form of music that really caters to that certain population, you're going to have a difficult time reaching them with anything else. It's a lot about respect. I think that it's one of those things in poor communities, especially of inner cities. Rap music is a huge influence. I know whether it be in attire, what people are wearing, how they're talking, you know, what they're listening to in their cars. All of that centers around the hip hop lifestyle in a lot of cases. And in order to reach that, you need to be relevant to them. And that's how I've been able to look at that as far as using hip hop in that way. It's been a great thing. I think that hip hop is one of those things that really catches the attention of young people and gets them excited about being able to. I mean, when I've done concerts for young people, being able to get them excited about music that they enjoy listening to, but also preaches the message of Christ, has just ministered and to me as well as to countless others. When you're able to relate in that way and then communicate in that way, that's effective in reaching out and showing the love of Christ. So it's been a great way to reach out to certain audiences. I can't say it works for every audience. I've had my share of times when it's not been as well received as others, but a lot of the time it has been a great thing for reaching out. So
I think people a lot of times, for instance, at Flip Fest, they didn't know how to take it at first, but then
mm-hmm.
once they got into it, then they're like, okay, wait a second, because I heard a couple times in an interview with KJ52, for instance, he had
mm-hmm.
said, he gets out there and people just kind of like, what's wrong with this? There's a Christian white boy from Florida rapping up here. What's the deal?
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
like, well, as you get into the crowd and get them involved, they really get into it, and it gets the message out to them
mm-hmm.
that, hey, you know, this might sound weird at first, but what I'm doing, I have a passion for, and I'm sure that's your
right.
That's your angle, you know, is
yeah.
getting there and having that passion and showing that passion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's passion communicates in a way that you know, a lot of things can't. When they see both the passion that I have for Christ, but also for what I'm doing, both in connecting with the audience and then you know, getting my message across, that speaks volumes to anyone that's actually paying attention to what I say in the songs. They're quickly side with the, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, and it's not really something that I, you know, a lot of times there is that negative stereotype with rap music, but once, if they pay attention to lyrics and figure out what it is that my mission is, it normally goes real smooth after that, and normally have a great response. So,
awesome. Melissa, do you have any questions from the chat room or questions?
Yeah, actually, it's funny. I was remember I mentioned it was my birthday coming up. I went to his Tangle page, and he's got a song that says "Birthday Girl."
Yes. Yes, sir. That song. Well, there's two versions of that song, which is funny because normally you don't make more than one version of the same song. But one version of the song, which is, I believe is the one that you may have heard, was written for my girlfriend. I wrote that a while back for her, and then but then I realized, you know what, I need to write a song like this for my mom. So me and my brothers, for my mother's last birthday, got together and we changed that song for made a special version for her. So that's been a fun way to reach out to the family with that.
That's cute. Yeah, I saw the video. I was wondering, with your name, Preston Kegley, do you ever get any trouble? Because that doesn't really sound like, you know, when people usually use a rapper name like, oh, C Money or something. I don't know, something like that.
Yes. That's been one of those things. I am me. I don't have a nickname yet because I've not been given one. I've never gone by a nickname. I choose to be myself. I don't dress like a rapper, for the most part. I wear Tom's shoes. I don't normally wear a hat. Sometimes I do, but I wear V-neck shirts most of the time. I mean, it's not about trying to be anybody other than myself, and who God has made me to be. And it's one of those things, you know. I could choose to portray an image of something that I'm not, but I've chosen to stick with being myself. And let my lyrics and my music talk for me, and if it shocks people, that's all the better. So.
Well, it sounds like a nice thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I looked in the chat room. Nobody asked any questions, so.
Okay. Let's jump on. We'll play one of the songs now. Actually, I do have. Already on here, All to Me Is You. So we can play that here real quick, and we'll put it on there. It's one of my favorite songs. I do like, and who's the guy singing with you on this song?
That's actually me.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
At the very beginning of the song, you can hear him mention a couple people. This goes out to, and I thought that was one of the people that you were singing. About,
actually, that's a funny story too. The people that I yell out in the beginning are people that are actually my family. I just abbreviated their names in different way and funny nicknames that we've used for each other in the past. And basically, the song has I dedicated it to my family. So yeah.
I like
Cool. So we're gonna play this right now. This is Preston Kegley. Preston, we want to thank you for coming on here. Can you give us any information in case somebody wants to get a hold of you or book you for a show? Or
yes, sir, I can. I have a MySpace page, which is myspace.com/masterpreality, which is where you can go and check out my music if you want. I also have a Facebook page, Preston Kegley. And then also my email address is PrestonKegley@gmail.com. So any of those, I'd be happy to talk. Even if you have questions, just want to chat a little bit about anything, I'd be happy to do it. So.
Awesome. Cool. Melissa, my switchboard went crazy, so you might want to go ahead, if you can, get on there and play it.
Yeah, I can play it.
Play it at about 18%. We can, because the last time I played it was a little loud. So.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Here we go. This is Preston Kegley with All to Me Is You on Truth Be Told Radio.
Who am I supposed to be? I want to give you all of me. All of me is everything. Everything is me. Reflection of grace, I got my shine on, just like a star.
Get your hands up from the north to the south side. Get your hands up, let me see you don't dance. Get your hands up from the east to the west side. Get your hands up, let me see your head bound. Get your hands up from the north to the south side. Get your hands up. Who am I supposed to be? I want to give you all of me. All of me is everything, everything in me. Who am I supposed to be? I know I feel you calling me to you. Lord, all to me is you. Who am I supposed to be? I want to give you all of me. All of me is everything, everything in me. Who am I supposed to be? I know I feel you calling me to you. Lord, all to me is you. Get your hands up, let me see you throw it down. Get your hands up from the east to the west side. Get your hands up, let me see you head down. Get your hands up from the north to the south side. Get your hands up, let me see you throw it down. Get your hands up from the east to the west side. Get your hands up, let me see you head down. Get your hands up from the north to the south side. From the north to the south side. Get your hands up, let me see you throw it down. Get your hands up from the east to the west side. Get your hands up, let me see your head bound. Get your hands up from the north to the south side. Get your hands up, let me see you throw it down. Get your hands up from the east to the west side. Get your hands up, let me see your head bound. Get your hands up from the north to the south side. Who am I supposed to be? I want to give you all of me. All of me is everything, everything in me. Who am I supposed to be? I know I feel you calling me to you. All to me is you.
That's
right,
perfect.
All...
And that's all to me is you. We had to play it low because when we play it higher, it gets distorted. But you could hear some on Tangle.com and MySpace. And that it's called All to Me is You. So you could, I was wondering, is Preston still there?
Yeah, he's still on there. Preston, you still there?
Yes, sir.
I was wondering if you feature your lyrics because, like, before, like, I want to understand it more, like, to me, it's still hard. Even when I hear it louder, it's still kind of hard for me to understand the word.
On my page, I do not have the lyrics written right now, but that is something that I have been working on getting up there. That song is basically all about trying to find God's will for your life, and that God is all to me. All to me is you. Being all to me is God, who is the you. So it's one of those songs that it's just a, you know, kind of cry of your heart kind of song. You know, God, use me where you want to use me. Show me where you want to go. Lead me kind of thing. So.
Awesome.
Well, that pretty much explains it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very self-explainable. And I really, like I said, I hope, I pray that God really bless you in everything that he does and wherever he leads you at. And like you said, it's he's led you into music, and I'm glad he has. And anybody who wants to have Preston anywhere, you get on his MySpace or his Facebook, and he has an email on there, and you can listen to some of his music. And he travels all around. Like I said, he's going to Louisiana. He just came. He's in Pennsylvania before, and so he travels all around and spreading the word of God. And Preston, really appreciate you, brother. And we're going to be praying for you in your travels and in your ministry that you're doing. And we praise God for you. And I'm hoping, it'd be great. We'll get some lyrics. His album's called The Reason, 2009, and it's Preston Kegley. And you can get on, and it's on Tangle.com. You can check it out. Also, I think I posted a video or two of you rapping on YouTube.
Okay.
So,
all right. Thank you, sir.
No problem. Anytime we can help or anything, we're going to be featuring, with your permission, we want to feature more of your music on here.
I would
on
love
our radio.
That. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. We'll get it out there and get your MySpace and your Facebook out there. And like I said, there's probably, I don't know how many people listen, but whatever God allows, we'll get out there and we'll get the word out. And so once again, Preston Kegley, you can get the hope in MySpace, and he's on Tangle and on Facebook too. So God bless you, and thank you, Preston, for taking the time to be on here with us.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
That was Preston Kegley. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Go ahead, Melissa.
I just get to say we only have like 3 minutes left, so if we wrap it up.
Yeah.
Thank you for
wrap
our guest.
You said wrap it up, and we just had a rapper on.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get that. I did a pun.
Instead of the last song, the adoration song, let's take the last couple minutes and we'll play that song, the other song we have, Change the Game. Yeah, we have a song called Change the Game by Preston Kegley, and we'll go on and get on truthbetoldradio.com. You can get us on Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio. Our email address is mine's guyr@praize.com. guyr@praize.com. And Melissa, throw yours out there.
Mine is bondservantforjesuschrist@gmail.com. That's the number 4. And that's where you can get me. You can write me, send me comments or questions.
Yeah, any questions or comments to improve the show, anything to add, do you think that would edify the believers? And for that matter, you can catch us on Facebook, and anything that you can think of that would edify the believers in the sense of either Bible studies or anything you've got, you can get on our Facebook. Mine's G.C. Reynolds, G-C-R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S, and I'm General Rich, is who I am, a.k.a. Guy Reynolds. So for Melissa Canchola, Truth Be Told Radio, we're going to end with this song. Melissa, you can say your goodbye-byes, and we'll play Change the Game by Preston Kegley.
Oh.
God bless. Have a great day. Stay faithful.
I can't play it. Oh, there it is.
that no one's got.